Welcome to No Ad, No Problem, a podcast devoted to college tennis and growing the game. Check us out on Twitter at JTweetsTennis and Instagram at No Ad, No Problem. I'm your host, John. Let's serve it up. Hey everyone, what a week it has been. We had so many fantastic results this past weekend, and we have women's indoors in Seattle this weekend, which I'll be in attendance for. So if you're going, please come up and say hello, give me your thoughts, give me your feedback, give me a hard time. It's one of the best parts about going to more matches in person is just getting to talk with more college tennis fans. So definitely if you're in Seattle, please do say hello. On today's show, I'm going to break down some of the chaos that's been happening on the men's side and preview our men's match of the week. If you're looking for women's indoor content, that will be released tomorrow on the Great Shot podcast with Alex Gruskin. And this will be a pretty men's focused episode. So unfortunately, no Ethan on today's show. He saw UVA's 0-2 performance this weekend and decided to skip out on me to avoid having to talk about it. So just a solo episode. With all that said, let's dive in. What's going on the men's side of college tennis? This past weekend, we saw six of the top 10 lose, four of whom lost to lower-ranked teams that aren't even going to indoors. Those six matches included number 2 South Carolina losing to NC State, number 3 Virginia losing to Kentucky, number 6 Tennessee losing to number 5 TCU, can throw that one out, number 8 Duke losing to both Northwestern and Illinois, number 9 Columbia losing to number 13 Wake Forest, and number 10 Arizona to San Diego. And normally at this point in the season, you don't have this many teams that have qualified for indoors lose this much early in the season, let alone to teams that aren't also going to indoors. Typically, that number 6 Tennessee loss to number 5 TCU is sort of par for the course. You'll see some of these top 10 teams play each other on the road, maybe take one of those early season losses, but it's really not a bad loss at all, and then they head on to indoors. Here, it feels like we're seeing a lot more teams that are outside of the top 10 start to jump those top 10 teams. And so it begs the question, why is this happening? And so the first reason is just injuries and absences. So both for UVA, South Carolina, and Duke, all of them were missing really key contributors. UVA right now, this past weekend, was missing its top two in Chris Rodesh and in Yaki Montez. Chris Rodesh playing in Davis Cup for Luxembourg, and Yaki Montez out with injury still. He's been missing for all of UVA's singles matches. South Carolina, we'll talk about them more later on, but they're missing two of their former top four players in Connor Thompson and James Story. And on the Duke side this past weekend, they were missing Pedro Rodinas in that Northwestern match. So it's been weird because of that. And when you have so much parity in the game, particularly coming in this season, looking at kind of the team 6 through really 25, you knew there was a lot of parity coming in. If there's going to be gaps there at the top with a UVA, a South Carolina, a Duke due to absences, and you see some dip there, and you see some of those top teams lose, it's just going to end up feeling like chaos. And there's very few teams right now that are looking as good as we'll probably see them in May. Teams like Ohio State, TCU, looking pretty strong. Tennessee, we'll talk about that match a little bit. They're looking really good. A lot of new pieces that we weren't familiar with. But overall, it's been pretty chaotic, but it's pretty fun to see so much parity. And we're starting to see the phase out of that COVID fifth year. The fifth years this season were freshmen in 2020. So this is the final year of it. We're starting to see that phase out. Maybe some NIL deals helping bring some parity elsewhere across the country. So it's fun, but it's also a lot of, it kind of sucks when there's just injuries that explain some of this at the top. But let's double click on a few of these results, because I do want to talk about some in more detail. And so we'll start with the UVA weekend, in particular, Kentucky beating UVA 4-3. And it appears UVA has a script and they like to stick to it in January and February. And that script means looking not great. And they threw us off the scent this year by going outdoors to Texas and beating Texas in that match in Austin. But once they get back with a roof over their head, with absences in Rodesh and Montez, it's looked pretty uninspiring from UVA. In particular, players that you would expect to show up in some of these matches, like an Alex Kiefer losing his match to Kentucky as a surprise. Mons Dahlberg getting pushed there at the sixth spot when Kentucky, in this case, already pulled Josh Lapidot. So this is the second time that UVA has lost to another team that was also not at full strength. You had South Carolina not at full strength. You had Kentucky not at full strength. So pretty uninspiring from this UVA team. If you listen to my episode with Ethan earlier, I was pretty down on Virginia after they lost that South Carolina match. Said it's the worst I think they've looked so far early in these seasons, notably because they took a step backwards, having gone to Texas and then playing that South Carolina match looking much worse. And that continues. And now there's some real injury concerns about Iñaki Montez. It's been a while since he's been in this lineup. So we'll have to see if UVA can turn that around. They will get Chris Rodesh back this weekend as they face Georgia. He'll be back from Davis Cup. On the flip side, a massive win for Kentucky, especially on the heels of not making national indoors. Despite being a host, they got upset by Alabama, which was a huge shock, but a huge win for Kentucky, particularly after losing doubles and pulling their number one player, Josh Lapidot. Really good performance from them to knock off the two-time defending champion there in Lexington. All right, next match, I referenced this one earlier. Number 5 TCU beating Tennessee 4-3. This match was the match we previewed last week in our match of the week. And unfortunately, particularly the scoreline, particularly looking that it came down to the wire, really disappointed we couldn't have watched this match. But I'll start with Tennessee because I was very impressed with Tennessee in this match again. Couldn't watch it, so I was impressed by the scores. But they really pushed TCU in Fort Worth. They came out hot. They took doubles. And it, at one point, looked like they were going to sweep the top three. And ultimately, Johannes Munday of Tennessee had match points at number one. Couldn't close out. Tennessee found themselves up 3-1 because they did get wins at number two, Shinsuke Mitsui, and number three over Pedro Vives. But ultimately, TCU comes back from that hole 3-1. It was actually TCU's depth that saved them, getting straight set wins at 5 and 6. Good win for TCU to put this on the board. Both of these teams looking quite strong early on. We learned a lot more about Tennessee, I would say, just given that we hadn't seen enough of these freshmen in Pachanka or Apple Tower. So to see them put up good performances, both in beating Pedro Vives at 3 and then also pushing Sebastian Gorzny to 3 sets at number 4. Really impressed with Tennessee. I think they have a very talented squad. I think they're definitely going to challenge South Carolina now for that top position in the SEC. Let's move on to the final team I want to highlight, and that is San Diego. After losing a heartbreaker at kickoff to USC, they rebound this past weekend by beating two Pac-12 teams that are making indoors for the first time, and that is Arizona and Arizona State. It was really cool to see the parallels for both the San Diego men and women. Both lost heartbreakers in the second round of kickoff weekend. Both then go 2-0 this past weekend at home. Men, as I just mentioned, beating Arizona and Arizona State. Their women, who went on the road, lost to Florida in a heartbreak. At kickoff weekend, they rebound and get wins over USC and Arizona State. I have heard that it is very tough to play at that facility and that the courts are extremely slow. Takes a lot of getting used to playing there in San Diego, but that was certainly to the advantage of the Toreros as combined. Men and women, they go 4-0 on the weekend. And shout out to Oliver Tarvey, San Diego's number one player. He's now won 3 straight matches against top players in college in USC's Stefan Dostanich, Arizona's Colton Smith, and Arizona State's Murphy Cassone. Tarvey, after his fall, is already ranked within the top 10, and he should be much higher when new rankings come out today. When you're listening to this, we have our first iteration of the spring rankings. We haven't gotten spring individual rankings since the end of the fall. So this is the first time we will see those computer rankings debut in the spring. And Tarvey getting those wins. Let's see. Colton Smith and Murphy Cassone are both ranked in the top 10. Stefan Destange didn't play in the fall, so that probably won't count much right now, but it'll certainly appreciate in value. So San Diego getting some much-needed wins and much-needed relief after missing out on indoors. All right, let's transition to our men's match of the week. Look, there's a lot of good matches this week, and honestly, after this past weekend, I expect nothing less than more chaos, but it's a really important week for teams that are going to indoors because this is the final weekend of play and it's also the final weekend of results for seeding implications. So what happens for indoors, particularly on the men's side, is that they will do their coaches poll and the top 16 teams by rank, that's how they're seeded for indoors. So unlike the women that just seed the top eight and then place the 9-16 teams by avoiding conference matchups and matches that we have already gotten or will get throughout the season, the men just go straight ranking seeding. So the one plays the 16, the two plays the 15. So a lot of implications this weekend on rankings. A few matches that I do want to shout out that will be interesting for ranking purposes and seeding purposes are Wake Forest at South Carolina. Curious to see how this Wake Forest team does against South Carolina. Wake has looked really good early on. A lot of new pieces that we don't know, but we'll talk a little bit more about South Carolina soon. Georgia at UVA. We'll see Rodesh back. Will we see Montez in singles? How good is this Georgia team? We just saw them knock off Georgia Tech, which is a solid win, not an outstanding win. I think most impressively for Thomas Paulsell, who has rocketed up from being outside the lineup in that Georgia squad to being all the way at number one, for him to take out an Andres Martin, who has consistently been one of the top 20 players in college tennis and had a fantastic fall on the ATP ITF circuit. Some good signs for this Georgia team, who's certainly still in their rebuilding year. They make the road trip to not only Virginia, but also to North Carolina. Next match is Tennessee at Columbia. So this was a match that was supposed to happen last year, but the Columbia new facility did not cooperate. So let's knock on wood, hope that that facility is in full cooperation, as this will be a preview of what's to come because men's indoors is being hosted by Columbia. And then you have Kentucky at Duke, both coming off very different weekends. So curious to see how all of those play out. But the match I went with was number 2, South Carolina at number 1, Ohio State. This match is in Columbus, Sunday at noon. Currently, as of recording, this is number 1 versus number 2. But when you're listening to this, I'm sure South Carolina has been bumped from that number 2 spot after their loss to NC State. But right now, top 2 matchup. But there's also a lot of other reasons to talk about this match. So why did I choose this match? Now, I will say I might be going 0-2 on picking these matches of the week. Last week, we talked about a match that you couldn't even watch. And honestly, it's probably never a good idea to pick an indoor match at Ohio State because you already know the outcome. Ohio State will win and they might not even drop a point. The fans, the atmosphere that they bring out in Columbus, the fast indoor court conditions, it's always tough for any team to win here. But there's some interesting narratives here. You know, last season, these two played, so they've kind of scheduled this home and home, and it was Ohio State's first outdoor match. Ohio State last season started very similarly to how they've started this season, how they start almost every indoor season, with the exception of they had lost at indoors, and they went down to Columbia, South Carolina. They played South Carolina, and they lost really badly. And you know that there will be a chip on the Buckeyes' shoulder from that match. You look at how they got up for that Virginia match. They didn't even drop a set against Virginia. You know they were thinking about that 2023 national championship final. So I'm sure they will also be thinking about that match in Columbia, where things kind of got off to a rocky start for them in their outdoor season. So Ohio State, 8-0. They're really just doing what Ohio State does early in this season. One of the big differences for them early on is they're fully healthy. They're a top six with Cash Indoors is as good, if not better, than anyone. They're firing in all cylinders. It's helpful for them that NCAA doubles champion Andrew Luchanig, he's back in the lineup after being out this past fall with injury. So having him back in the doubles lineup, very helpful for Ohio State. And look, this is a Buckeye team that hasn't won indoors since 2019. This is like a rare stretch for them. So they'll be motivated. They'll want to continue this momentum that they have in Columbus all the way through indoors. And that means taking on the Gamecocks, who are 3-1. Now they have that Herculean win in Charlottesville over UVA, which is kind of losing its shine by the day as UVA continues to drop matches both to Ohio State and now to Kentucky. And it was South Carolina's turn this past weekend to also drop an early season stinker. They lost to NC State 4-3 at home. They dropped doubles and 3, 5, and 6. Came down to that number 3 match where freshman Jelani Sarr lost in that third set. Looked like he kind of ran out of gas after losing the second set tiebreak, unfortunately. And he was playing such a veteran in Lucas Staley of NC State. Storyline for South Carolina is really, where are Story and Thompson? These are two players for this South Carolina team who played in the top 4 of the singles lineup last season. Connor Thompson was 19-4 at number 2 for the Gamecocks. James Story was 11-3 at number 4. The unusual thing right now is that they're both competing for the Gamecocks. They are playing in doubles, but not in singles. And so that leads me to my biggest question for each team going into this match. And for South Carolina, it's at some point we see James Story and Connor Thompson play singles, right? So that's something to watch. And we'll see if it happens in Columbus, whether they're saving them for indoors. And look, a loss to Ohio State in Columbus is not going to hurt your ranking any. So that's one thing to watch. The other thing for South Carolina is doubles. You have Story, you have Thompson in doubles. They've lost doubles points to an undermanned UVA, to NC State. That needs to be a much better doubles point, certainly against Ohio State, but also just generally moving forward. This is a team that feels pretty confident that fully healthy, they'll be able to find 3 singles. But if they're not winning doubles points, it's going to be really tough against these top teams. On the flip side for Ohio State, really not a lot of questions. And we really haven't seen that many lineup shenanigans either. The only thing is in doubles, we've seen them flip Boulay and Luchanig and Kingsley and Tracy, flipping them between the 1 and the 2 position. And then they have been playing Robert Cash at number 3 doubles. This past weekend, they had him play with Alex Bernard and Bryce Nakashima. Doesn't get more college tennis than playing probably the best doubles player in the country at number 3 doubles, which is very Ohio State, very college tennis. And you need to have 3 really strong doubles teams, and Ohio State's finding that by putting Robert Cash at number 3. All right, on the lineup side, it's really tough because we don't know if Connor Thompson and James Story are going to be playing. So we'll just go through these with what we have seen this past weekend. The only questions here are probably who is going to play number 1 for Ohio State. You know Toby Samuel, who's one of the highest ranked players in the ATP playing college tennis right now. You know he'll be at number 1 for the Gamecocks. I think he'll play Justin Boulay for Ohio State. I think the lefty might give him a little bit more variety, a little bit different looks than what he would get playing Cannon Kingsley, who he's probably a little bit more familiar with as well. Number 2, probably have Casey Houle for South Carolina versus Cannon Kingsley. Number 3, Jelani Sarr, the freshman for the Gamecocks versus JJ Tracy. Number 4, Lucas Da Silva of South Carolina versus Jack Anthrop. Number 5, Sean Darabeghi of South Carolina, the hero in that UVA win, versus Robert Cash, who is at the number 5 spot for the Buckeyes right now. Indoors, that makes sense. Great player indoors, obviously a great volleyer. Curious to see what Ohio State does outdoors this season. That's probably one of the questions for them. And then last, Carter Morgan at number 6 for South Carolina versus Alex Bernard of Ohio State. What does UTR tell us? Probably what you're already thinking, and that's Ohio State is heavy favorites everywhere but number 1. So number 1 is certainly a spot that South Carolina will feel good about with Toby Samuel, not only against Ohio State, but any team in the country. You saw that as Toby Samuel took out Chris Rodesh just after Chris Rodesh had beaten number 1 Elliott Spizzieri of Texas. All right, so predictions. I think it's going to be Ohio State 4-0. That's what happens here early in the season in Columbus. But look, if this past weekend is anything to go off, chaos is reigning right now on the men's side in college tennis. For all we know, we're going to see a healthy Connor Thompson, a healthy James Story, and South Carolina is going to pull off the upset. You know they're going to have a lot of belief. They just pulled off a similar script here at UVA in Charlottesville, and these guys have now been tested. They've had the highs, and now they've had the lows. So I'm curious to see how they show up in Columbus. This will be after we already see Wake Forest versus South Carolina. So you might already have some of these answers early in the weekend, but really looking forward to this match as well as so many of the men's matches. I will be following along while I am in Seattle. And again, if you're in Seattle, please come up, say hello. Would love to chat. I might drop some recap episodes here or over on the Great Shot podcast with Gruskin, because it's our rare opportunity to do some in-person content. So look out for those and enjoy all of the matches this week. Thanks, everyone.